Welcome to the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Football, rankings, debates, dad stuff, with your host, Justin Williams and Matt Renshaw.
And welcome, everyone, to this edition of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. I am your host, Justin Williams, and with me, as always, my good friend, Matt Renshaw. Matt, how are you today?
You went from like being a robot to being a long drawn out. Yeah.
Did I ever tell you my wife wanted to be an opera singer?
No, she didn't.
I know. I said the same thing. I said, no way.
No.
Yeah, that's what she wanted to do.
I knew she was in like dance.
Yeah, opera singer. Nice. I was like, you don't even listen to opera music.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be a singer.
She could be in Hamilton.
Yeah. Yeah.
You hated Hamilton, didn't you?
I hated him. I couldn't.
I cannot believe it. Once it got to like, oh my gosh.
They did the intermission. I was like, oh my God. I thought that was the end of it.
You're the only person in like America that hated Hamilton.
It's just not my bag.
Oh.
Not enough explosions. Anyways, we are brought to you by DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
And as you can hear, we are off to a hot start. What'd you want to be when you were a kid, Matt? What'd you want to be when you grew up?
I guess you could still
want that, but
yeah, I guess I'm not a lawyer. Dream job for me is like a MLB or NFL GM, but
yeah, I could see that.
But back in the day, I wanted to be a lawyer. I actually went to college for 3 years to be a lawyer.
My mom really wanted me to be a lawyer, and I mean, what mom doesn't want their kid to be a lawyer? But
yeah.
I thought that was going to be my thing, but I really wanted to be a professional wrestler when I was like little.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, jumping off I had like a canopy bed or ladder bed or whatever, and I jump off that thing onto a pile of pillows.
Yeah.
Macho.
Elbow drop.
Randy Savage. Oh, yeah.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I remember I feel like we were at a party, like a birthday party where we did like the wrestling thing.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I don't know if I can name drop the kid.
Yeah, we got in our underwear and we all wrestled.
Ben, you know Ben.
Eight other guys. It was great.
You remember Ben?
Ben?
Ben.
Ah, old Ben.
Do you remember Ben? I don't want to say his last name.
I immediately remember the party you're talking about.
We had like NWO groups and DX groups and.
Yeah, this is getting weird.
All right, sorry. Whatever. We've been friends for a long time.
More cringy than normal.
For a long time.
Well, Matt, you know, we got a lot of news to talk about, my friend. Everyone's catching the COVID, so we got to talk about the COVID, unfortunately. On a much heavier note, we have an absolute tragedy that occurred involving an NFL wide receiver. We're going to have to talk about. And we got to keep an eye on the Odell Beckham Jr. situation because that is constantly evolving. But before we do, we need to talk about what everybody tunes in to hear. We need to talk about the Renshaw family story, Matt. Let's hear it,
dude. You have a son and a daughter. I don't know if you can remember. I don't know if you can remember
those two.
Back. Well, that's true. My son is like completely different than my daughter's as he's like 16 months old. I mean, from a
personality standpoint.
Yeah. And I don't even mean that. Cause like personality wise, he's the same. He is like climbing on stuff. I came home the other day, standing on the table, climbed up a chair, standing on the table. Like, what's up, dad? I'm like, oh my gosh. He got stuck yesterday in between a dinner chair and the table.
Happens to me all the time.
but horizontally. his head and arms are on the table and his legs are through the back of the chair.
Yep, been there. We've all been there.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, what are you doing? I don't know if you remember, like, your son is older and your daughter's younger. Was it like that? I mean, was Carson different than
no, my kids were smart. No, I really don't. Carson was a little daredevil. I mean, he would jump and do all that kind of stuff, but he was really just a really, really good kid. Carly isn't a really good kid, but she's not like a daredevil at all.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a naughty little princess, I guess. I don't know what to say. She's just really has a mouth on her, man. It's ridiculous.
I can imagine.
She's bossy as hell.
Yeah.
Just like her mom. But
I was going to say, does she want to be an opera singer when she grows up too?
Oh, shit. Yeah. I mean, I don't really have much of a family story now. It seems like we kind of had a bit of a slower week this week because we just got back from the tournament.
Yeah.
Last week. And we talked about that and we tried to just kind of keep it low key since our return. And it sounds like we're going to have another tournament here in about 4 weeks.
Nice. In
Kansas City.
You bringing that like 19-year-old kid with you for your sixth grade team?
Yeah, that's what we do. That's how our team wins. But yeah, other than that, I mean, we have, have you ever hired professional painters for the house? You ever
done that? Actually, we looked at it when we just bought this new one, but we looked at it. We did like a cost analysis. We're like, we can just paint it.
Yeah. Well, oh yeah. You're not paying for like, you're going to pay much more if you hire somebody to do it, but you're paying for like the labor. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The paint's cheap and cheaper, I guess. I don't know. There was when we were painting, we painted all of our walls, all of the trim, and we painted some ceiling stuff. And there was a paint shortage because there's a shortage of everything in the world right now. I kid you not. I understand. Yeah. So, yeah. And we painted everything ourselves rather than have, we were going to have them paint doors. And I think for 8 doors, it was like $3,000.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We were like, we can paint the doors.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, what are you having them paint? A room or?
Well, we hired a local company here to paint our living room on the main level and down the hall and in our entire our bedroom, the wife and I, our bedroom,
yeah,
and the ceiling as well, both of those rooms in the hall, and $1,100, and I was like, my wife's like, that seems really expensive. And I was like, yeah, but they did it. Like they're done now. They just left. I mean, I mean, it took a day.
And you're paying for the convenience of it being done. And
everything's done. You're done. You put your stuff back and you're done.
Yep.
Like how great is that? I would gladly pay that again. So
wait a minute. You got $5 per tooth fairy money and pay the painters and go away money.
Man, whatever.
That's it. No, I'm serious. That's good. Like, cool. That's
Don't make it out like that. Don't make it out like I'm bougie. I ain't bougie. I had $1,100. Had a nice sale lately. $1,100 to get this paint done. And I pay my kids $5 when they lose a tooth.
Oh my goodness. Man.
I'm wild.
Rolling in it.
Whatever.
Speaking of blowing money, Odell Beckham Jr. is going to get paid $9 million to not play.
Michael Silver reports that the Browns coach, Kevin Stefanski, probably told players that Odell Beckham Jr. is essentially not on the team. Silver added that Stefanski informed players the team told Beckham to stay home, which explains why he isn't at practice this week. All signs point to the disgruntled receiver being done in Cleveland. Rumors swirled around possible trades for the Cleveland star, but nothing materialized ahead of Tuesday's deadline. 105.7 The Fan's Jason LaConfora, probably. Reports the Browns are not willing to waive Odell Beckham as the team attempts to reach a financial resolution with him. They also added that he will remain away from the team, but on the 53-man roster for now, and his release will come eventually. But the Browns are likely trying to find a way to lessen the financial burden of the move. Unless Beckham is desperate to get out of Cleveland, unless Beckham is so desperate to get out of Cleveland that he is willing to give up a portion of his salary, the Browns hold little leverage in the situation. Apparently, if he is cut, under his current contract, he will be placed on waivers. A team would be on the hook for his contract, which includes $8 million this year, but nothing in guarantees beyond 2021. Assuming no team is willing to take the hit, Beckham will become a free agent shortly after being waived in this scenario. Matt, there's a lot to really go over there. Kind of came out of nowhere. But what do you think?
It feels like this has been brewing for a while.
I don't understand how an offense can struggle when you have Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry and Nick Chubb and Baker Mayfield and David Njoku. You made David Njoku look like a bum. Like, how do you struggle as an offense with that many people that we've seen make huge plays?
When was the last time Beckham was relevant?
It was with the Giants. He hasn't been relevant
since. Yeah, it's what, 2-3 years?
But that's my point, though. We've seen it.
Do you think this is a Cleveland Brown thing, or do you think this is an Odell Beckham thing?
I think this is a Cleveland Brown thing.
See, I think it's an Odell Beckham thing. And I know his dad thinks otherwise because he posts that video clip trashing Baker. You know, there's so many layers to this. I don't think Odell Beckham is as good as he once was. He had a great season. Eli Manning definitely helped him. He didn't because Beckham was there with Danny Dimes for a year.
I 100% agree with that. He's not as good as people think he is, and he's definitely not as good as he thinks he is.
Right. Yeah. So do I I think he gets cut. I think he goes somewhere else. I think Baker Mayfield's going to ball out now. Because I think last year when Odell was hurt, Baker Mayfield got better because you didn't have to worry about force feeding or the diva mindset that OBJ brought to the team. It's hard to say, he's going to be great, but like it's addition by subtraction. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about the guy wanting the ball, throwing a fit if he doesn't get the ball, his dad tweeting, Instagramming you, whatever. I like it for Beckham. I like it for Baker. I think Odell ends up. There's two places that make sense in my mind.
Oh, we're Seattle already. Okay.
Seattle. Okay. Cause they have the cap room, run it back with Russ, see what happens. And the Saints tried to trade for him at the deadline, but couldn't make it fit with the cap. I think the Saints make sense too with no Michael Thomas, which I think we're going to get to.
The Saints are very desperate for another wide receiver. They're just desperate.
They need a quarterback, but.
Well, that too. There were a lot of rumors rolling around there where the Saints were trying to acquire a wide receiver. They just couldn't pull the trigger on anything.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but the Raiders make sense.
Well, they need a wide receiver now too.
I mean, they definitely do. There's a bunch of teams that could use a solid playmaking, you know, wide receiver. It's just a really weird situation. And then for your Odell Beckham Jr. governors, I mean, there's nothing to do but hold and wait. Right?
Yeah,
that's the only play here. You don't trade him.
You trade him after he signs with somebody else.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean,
I can see him. He doesn't. He feels like he could be a really good Patriot, but he doesn't.
Why?
Because when you go to the Patriots, the diva wide receivers seem to get right in line.
Give me another one besides Randy Moss.
Josh Gordon was on his best behavior there when he was there.
He was, but he didn't produce. Neither did Chad Ochocinco Johnson.
They got Chad Ochocinco like at the very, very end of his run.
I name
Antonio Brown was on his best behavior there, wasn't he?
He was there for a game, and then they cut
just
him.
Saying. Yeah, that's true. I forgot. It seems like so much longer.
You know what I mean? Like, I get it. I get why you would say that, but the last time a diva wide receiver did anything there was Randy Moss with Tom Brady.
Well, I feel like if you get to play for like the best head coach, like without argument, the best head coach in the NFL right now, I think you step your game up a little bit.
Wow.
That is not a controversial statement. There's no way that was controversial. The best NFL head coach right now is Bill Belichick, and it's not close.
You haven't been online lately, on Twitter at least.
He's the best one.
There's an argument. Sean Payton.
Shut up.
I'm not saying it. I'm just saying I saw an argument that Sean Payton was a better head coach than Belichick.
I don't think so. Matt, we have to do it. Let's just get it over with. Let's see. Where'd it go? Oh. So you probably heard by now, if you're a follower of NFL news or just the news in general, the Raiders have waived wide receiver Henry Ruggs. Ruggs is facing a felony charge for driving under the influence in a collision, resulting in the death of a 23-year-old woman, a Category B offense in the state of Nevada, with a minimum of 2 years in state prison and a maximum of 20. The Las Vegas Metropolitan Police are conducting an ongoing investigation. Obviously, Matt, this is a stunning downfall for a 22-year-old 18 months removed from being the number 12 overall pick in the NFL draft. Ruggs has a long and winding legal odyssey ahead of him before he can ever even think about playing football again. And that's clearly there is a strong, strong possibility that this is the end of his NFL career. There's no classy way to do this, Matt. So I'm just going to do it. If you have Henry Ruggs on your fantasy roster, which is such a minor deal in the grand scheme of things, what would you suggest to those governors?
Cut bait. He's not coming back.
I think so too. I think it's easy to just to cut him and pick up literally anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody you want. Just a tragedy. Just an absolute tragedy.
Yeah. But, he's not coming back. He's done.
So let's pivot just a little bit. Does this impact the foreseeable future and the value of anybody else on the Raiders roster right now?
Darren Waller's probably going to get some more targets.
Even more targets, because it feels like he gets the lion's share.
He hasn't been getting as many as normal.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's more there now. Maybe Bryan Edwards.
I feel like Bryan Edwards gets a tick up. Derek Carr gets a tick down, and that's it. Like, I don't think there's anything major shaking.
Not a Renfro guy?
Yeah, Renfro and Ruggs were so different.
I know. Right? But so is Edwards. Edwards is a big body.
That's fair. But Edwards is just now he's like the wide receiver. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a depressing story all the way around. Depressing to think about it. On top of how depressing it is just to think about the Raiders in general. But, you know. C'est la vie, I suppose. Calvin Ridley remains away from his from the team Wednesday. As expected, Ridley was a surprise late scratch Sunday morning and then announced he was taking a personal leave to focus on his mental health. This is the last update we'll do on Ridley until something new happens. So I think we should all consider Ridley to be out for week 9 against the Saints. What say you?
Yeah, and probably week 10, 11, 12. You think he comes back this season?
What's that?
You think he comes back this year?
Yeah, I do. I think that eventually he's going to come back. It is. You can't question anything about it. It's mental health, and the only person that knows what's going on in his head is him.
Yeah.
Just a really weird week. Just a terrible, terrible week for the NFL.
We haven't even talked about Derrick Henry yet.
No, we're not even on Derrick Henry. But just to start off with. Henry Ruggs, Odell Beckham Jr. being a diva.
Basically kicked off the team.
Yeah, getting kicked off the team, which is the right way to do it, by the way. I applaud the Browns and what they're doing. Calvin Ridley having a mental day, which I'm not making fun of whatsoever, but it's
been a season. I mean, I think he was out, 2 weeks ago, too, with the same kind of
something going on. It's an ongoing issue with him. It's just one of those things where it's like he might have to walk away for a little while.
Yeah.
Go get your stuff, figured out. It's just football. Yeah. But, man, just a bad week. And then all the COVID stuff that we're going to talk about here shortly. Just bad, bad week.
Yeah.
Bad, bad, bad week. Well,
I hope he gets better. Hope he gets better. Man, hope he gets whatever help he needs. And, yeah.
Oh, Calvin Ridley. Of course.
Calvin Ridley. Yeah.
Of course. Michael Thomas released a statement that he is out for the 2021 season, excuse me. News broke out early Wednesday morning that Thomas had seen a specialist for a new injury to his ankle. Thomas indicated in his statement that this setback will cause him to miss the rest of the 2021 season. And coach Sean Payton suggested the receiver could need another surgery. Thomas was utterly dominant in 2019, but will make his return a full 2 years removed from that spectacular season. Michael Thomas turns 29 in March, and with Jameis Winston unlikely to be the Saints starter in 2022, it's unclear who Thomas will be catching passes from in his attempt to recapture his elite form. Thomas' salary fully guarantees on the third day of the 2022 league year in March. This will likely keep him in New Orleans, but it's not entirely out of the question that he's played his last snap as a Saint. Matt, I'm curious, what do you think? How do you think this is going to happen? Do you think Michael Thomas is going to be a Saint in 2022?
No, absolutely not.
I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. You haven't seen him do anything in 2 years as a Saints brass. Let him go.
And he has just headbutted with the organization for the last 2 years.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to get my ankle. I mean, remember when it happened and Sean Payton was like, yeah, you should have got this stuff fixed earlier. And there was just, you could tell there was something bubbling underneath. Mm-hmm. And here it is again. And when they made that announcement, I was like, I don't think he's going to play this year. I have this weird feeling that he's going to, something will happen and he's out for the year. And it's, he's just, I think he's mad at the organization for whatever reason. He's mad at the organization. And they're just going to, they're going to end up splitting. He's going to be somewhere else.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of wide receivers on the move this offseason. I think we're going to see some big names go different places. And, you know, we talked about this while we talked about it. It seems like every offseason, running backs are just such a dime a dozen. We see how the free agent market reacts to running backs every single offseason. These guys that have great years just end up taking forever to sign on someplace because there's just, so many of them,
like Todd Gurley,
very few elite. I feel like we are getting very close to that threshold for wide receivers too. Like these dudes are not worth the trouble that they were able to cause in the early 2000s, the late 90s. Like it's just like they're going to find these rookies and these young kids to come in that outrun them, outplay them, and keep their mouth shut for a lot cheaper.
Well, and Juju, I mean, let's go back talking last year wide receiver class. Juju was out there, got a 1 year deal. Like, who was the big wide receiver addition last year?
Right. I mean, it's not going to be anybody like we're going to see Odell Beckham Jr. hit the free market. We're going to see Michael Thomas at the free market. I believe that.
You're going to have to trade for Michael Thomas, you don't think? You're going to cut him?
I think if you're an NFL team that like needs a wide receiver and you really want to take a flyer on Michael Thomas, I really think you're just waiting until March. There's no reason to offer anything. Just hold on.
You imagine Michael Thomas in Kansas City or Jacksonville?
Yeah.
He played for Urban Meyer. That's why I think Jacksonville.
Oh, that'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Just a thought. No, they don't have a true alpha.
I don't hate it.
He can run slants down there. You hate Kansas City? He's not fast enough?
I don't know.
They need a wide. Kansas City needs someone that can catch the ball. Who, it doesn't matter who it is. Their wide receivers can't catch. Their tight end couldn't catch. No one's been able to catch the ball lately.
Maybe it's a Mahomes thing.
Maybe he's throwing it too hard. Like
maybe Mahomes lost a little bit of that grit when he got married or engaged.
Or when engaged. Did he get married? No, he had a kid. He's engaged.
Is he?
Yeah.
Lost or a little bit of a step there, a little bit of a fire.
Or the TikTok brother, Jackson.
Seems like some of these guys, once they get comfortable, they just lose a little step.
I'm trying to give me another example. Brady got married and won a ton of Super Bowls. Brady's been married twice.
It happens in the fight game all the time.
The fight game. You know about the fight game?
Well, you know, like MMA, boxing. When these dudes start getting these big checks.
Like McGregor,
the ship. You get these big pay-per-view numbers. They let it all go to their head, man.
McGregor.
Yeah, just like McGregor, that piece of shit.
Johnny Bones Jones can't stick. Well, I won't go there.
Bones Jones is another piece of shit. We should just do a whole hour of just naming guys are just pieces of shit. Let's do it. Fuck it, I'm on. Let's do it. Joe Rogan, piece of shit.
What? You don't like Rogan?
Donald Trump.
You don't like Rogan?
I don't give a shit.
I'm shocked you don't like Rogan.
Joe Rogan's a fucking schmuck.
I'm shocked you don't like Rogan.
Come on, let's keep going. Let's give me another one. Who else is a questionable?
You just said fighters that got married and got their bag, so I named off big fighters.
Yeah, I know. Let's keep going though. I like this theme. We could do this for a while.
You can maybe do
it. Rudy Giuliani, piece of shit. Like, I'm trying to think of one that's like not popular. Oh, hey, the lead singer of Smash Mouth. Piece of shit.
I don't even know who that is. Somebody once told me Wordle's going to roll me.
One more and then we'll get out of here. In the shed. Give me another one. I'm trying to not be political.
I'm not playing your game.
Judge Judy.
Shut up.
Kind of a piece of shit.
You don't like Judge Judy?
Oh my God. We should just start like a podcast and title it Piece of Shit. just do like a 30-minute episode every week. These are just 30 minutes of people that are kind of shit.
Know why you don't like Judge Judy?
She's just kind of, you know, she's got a little bit of an attitude. I can't handle it.
You don't like women with attitudes, huh?
I married one. Moving on. The Rams. The Rams waived wide receiver DeSean Jackson. This was expected the moment a receiver.
You know what, though? Let me stop you. I got one. I can't believe I didn't say this when you're naming off pieces of shit. Tyreek Hill.
Oh, that's a good one. Tyreek Hill, giant piece of shit.
Great. Giant Rams released DeSean Jackson.
Yeah. Tyreek Hill, top of the list. I can't believe I missed that one. Yeah. Tyreek Hill, piece of monkey shit. Yeah, that's bad. Rams waived wide receiver DeSean Jackson. This was expected the moment a receiver with 8 catches on the year requested his way out of the organization. Averaging 27.6 yards per reception on his 8 catches in his limited time on the field.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad when you look at it that way. 34-year-old DeSean Jackson did flash vintage speed whenever given an opportunity. I'm not even going to read the last part. They named off a team that just lost a wide receiver where DeSean Jackson as a speedy wide receiver would be a good fit, but yeah, let's move on. Okay. Well, we got to do it. There's a lot of COVID stuff happening, Matt, around the league. The Packers signed quarterback Blake Bortles. ESPN's Adam Schefter noted that Bortles will sign to the Packers practice squad and be eligible to join the 53-man roster for their Week 9 matchup with the Chiefs. Aaron Rodgers and Kurt Benkert, probably, have both been ruled out after testing positive for COVID-19. That leaves Jordan Love as the only quarterback on the active roster, and there's still a chance that Love returns a positive test before Sunday. Assuming he isn't placed on the COVID list, Love will start and Bortles will serve as his backup, Matt. Aaron Rodgers is just one of the big names that we're going to talk about with the COVID fallout here. But what's your fantasy reaction to hearing the news about Rodgers being out this week?
Does Adams come back this week?
I haven't seen a report that he doesn't, so I'm expecting him.
I don't know. Or does he be like, my ankle hurts, I can't play with Jordan Love? I don't know. It seems like those two are tight, Rodgers and Adams, and it may be a I don't know, because I know Packers fans want to see Love succeed. I would assume they don't want to see him fail. They just lost Robert Tonyan. They had no wide receivers last week. Is this a good spot for Love? Does Love Wally Pip Aaron Rodgers here?
Man, the Chiefs are shit. So it could be a nice spot. I can't imagine you starting him though.
Starting who, Love?
On a fantasy roster.
I'm playing a guy this week that is.
I mean, you got to be pretty desperate.
Yeah, it's a pretty bad team.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not starting him. And I kind of downgrade most of the Packers skill players.
Oh, you have to.
It's a get right game for the Chiefs.
Yeah, you said that last week, didn't you?
I said that for the Broncos against the Browns, and that didn't happen. On a Thursday night, though. That was a Thursday night game.
Yeah, that didn't turn. That didn't turn out at all.
No. Your Broncos suck, though. They're really bad. They're going to lose this week.
They start off the season so strong. Yeah, they're bad.
They're going to lose this week.
Yeah. No, I mean, bad, bad. Speaking of the Broncos, Denver placed tight end Noah Fant on the reserve COVID list. If Fant is vaccinated, he can return to the active roster after 2 negative tests submitted 24 hours apart and suit up for Denver's ensuing game, something most players have failed to do when testing positive earlier in the week. Albert O would surface as the low end tight end one if Fant is ruled out. You agree with that, Matt?
Yeah.
Albert O, low end tight end one.
I picked him up in a league. Yeah, I think. I mean, Dallas's defense has given up a few points to tight ends. It's a get right. I mean, it's a good plug and play. I feel like he's a popular DFS guy this week, is from what I've seen online.
Yeah, he's gonna be cheap.
Yeah, starting tight end. He's athletic. He's quick. I mean,
is he sneaky athletic, Matt?
His last name's like Ubawali Mbogali or something, right?
Ooh, she bang bang.
Ooh, I don't think he's sneaky athletic. I think they know that he's athletic. The Cowboys.
Pretty good to know.
Yeah.
The Cardinals place AJ Green on the reserve COVID list with his positive test coming in the middle of the week. It's still unlikely. Green. What?
I said, holy cow, AJ Green caught something. You didn't see this coming because he didn't turn around fast enough. Come on. This is like the perfect joke spot. No?
No, that was good.
Was there holding on the play or something? Where?
Stop it. With his positive test coming in the middle of the week, it is still unlikely Green is able to suit up for the Cardinals week 9 showdown with the Niners. Green being removed from the lineup should thrust Rondale Moore into a prominent role. Moore has topped a 50% snap share in each of his previous 3 weeks and could now be in line for something closer to an every down gig. He'll go from being an end of the bench stash to wide receiver 3 or 4 if Green doesn't play this week. Matt, are you on board with that? Rondale Moore?
Yeah, he's flashed in a couple games. I'm not knocking. AJ Green's been a solid play towards the end of your bench. Yeah, I like Moore. I think Moore has a solid week. Is Kyler Murray playing? I saw Cliff Kingsbury said he doesn't need to practice to play, but he hasn't practiced this week out with a foot or an ankle or some sort of injury.
I think he's going to play.
I do too.
Kingsbury seems to be really okay with letting like the studs rest during the week for the most part. Like he's been doing the same thing with Hopkins all year long.
Yeah. Has Hopkins dropped a pass this year?
I don't know. I don't keep track of Hopkins dropped passes, unfortunately.
Come on.
I know I should.
Zach Ertz, though.
Hey, nothing Ertz anymore.
Nothing Ertz in Arizona.
The Giants play Saquon Barkley on the reserve COVID-19 list. Stop me if you've heard that before. Barkley is vaccinated, so he can return after 2 negative tests 24 hours apart. He's also dealing with an ankle injury that could have just as easily kept him from suiting up. Fantasy managers should plan to start or plan for another week of Devontae Booker as the starter. Booker is averaging 17.3 touches per game with Barkley out and projects for running back 2 numbers versus the Raiders. What do you think of Booker so far, Matt?
See, I picked up Booker in a league that is like the Scott Fishbowl, and he has been a solid plug-and-play running back. I kind of went zero running back in that league and got Booker and got Henderson after his injury. Booker's been nice. He's been solid. He's no Saquon Barkley, don't get me wrong. But for teams that needed a guy, picked him up off waivers, I can't say that they're disappointed with what he's done.
Hear me out. And this is
I can't wait for these. I love when you start with hear me out.
This might not be good, but just hear me out.
You say Booker's better than Barkley?
No. Okay. But what I will say is there a chance that Barkley's overrated at this point?
What?
And here's the reason why. When Barkley went down last year, Wayne Gallman came in, and Wayne Gallman did very, very well. Barkley goes down again this year. Devontae Booker, who we were all completely out on as a fantasy community, comes in and is doing very, very well. Is Saquon Barkley possibly being put at a much higher pedestal than he really should be?
Wow. Wow. I don't know. I don't think so. There's a lot of running back. Like, there's a solid 10 running backs at the top that if you get one, you're happy, right? Like, the top running back crew has been kind of
flipped upside down this week.
Yeah, a little bit. You know what I mean? Because Barkley was, what, in the 104, 105 conversation mm-hmm. for startups. It wouldn't shock you next year if he was there again. Is this put him in the late first? Maybe. I mean, the running back.
But is he there because of talent, or is he there because he's the Giants running back?
Oh, he's there because of talent.
But maybe it shouldn't be that way. Maybe it should be because he's the Giants running back. The Giants apparently have something going with running backs right now. That's my argument.
Yeah. What are they protecting leads? They're not.
I'm not saying I understand it.
They're committed to the run.
I'm not saying that like Devontae Booker and Wayne Gallman are better than Saquon Barkley. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I think it's a very realistic possibility that Saquon Barkley is being very overrated by a dynasty community.
So what do you think it's time to sell? Your team never hold on to a running back.
I don't know if it's the time to sell right now. I think the time to sell is when he comes back and has a good week. I think I'm ready to sell.
Keep me in mind.
Yeah. You can find a buyer for Saquon Barkley. You can find a buyer for Odell Beckham Jr. But that doesn't
mean you cannot find a buyer for Odell Beckham Jr.
You can find a buyer for Odell Beckham Jr.
What are you selling OBJ for?
I'm not saying you're selling them for top dollar, but you can find a buyer. Like, I can't find a buyer for Blake Bortles. You can't find a buyer for Henry Ruggs right now. You can't find a buyer for Deshaun Jackson. No one's buying those guys. You can find a buyer for Odell Beckham Jr. in your league, and you can find a buyer for Saquon Barkley in every league.
I think it would be my opinion. I think you'd be very hard-pressed to find anybody that wants to trade for Odell Beckham Jr. right now.
That's crazy. Somebody will pay the price. There's always one guy in every league that will.
But what is fair price for Odell Beckham Jr.?
Honestly, if I'm looking to buy Odell Beckham Jr., I ain't paying more than a second round pick.
Okay. I would agree with that. Odell Beckham Jr. or Mike Thomas?
Odell. One of them's playing, kind of.
No, he's not. That's what I'm saying.
We've seen one more recently play, I guess I should say.
I'm looking at DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
They have Odell Beckham Jr. Valued a little bit higher than Michael Thomas, but you're looking at second round value for both players.
Okay, I was right on the money.
That is nuts. I'm not selling Michael Thomas for a second. I will buy Michael Thomas for a second. Absolutely. I'm not buying Odell Beckham Jr. though.
If that trade went down in our league. Where somebody paid a first for Michael Thomas, we'd call him crazy.
Would we? I would.
Yeah.
Now, who does that?
Who pays a first for Michael Thomas right now?
Nobody right now.
No, it's not your struggling team that's looking to build for the future. They're not paying a first for a player that they haven't seen in 2 years. And your contenders aren't going to pay a first to get a guy like that when they could go get a guy they need today to make a run.
Yeah, that's fair. If I'm a rebuilding team and I have a high second, I would trade a high second for Michael Thomas.
Oh, absolutely. You take that gamble. Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. That's the only that's the only way this works.
I wouldn't trade a high second for Odell Beckham Jr. though.
Oof.
I think I like Michael Thomas long term much better than Odell Beckham Jr.
Huh.
I could see Odell
going to a team where they just make him like this absolute star. Like he is the focal point of that entire offense. I think that's where he's happy. Like just a pig in shit. I think that would work for him. I can't think of where that would be, but I don't think he wants to be in Cleveland. I think that's a big part of the problem. He just doesn't want to be in Cleveland anymore. And who does? Even people that live in Cleveland don't want to be in Cleveland.
Baker does. He lives in the stadium.
He just says that shit. So
he lives in the stadium. I've seen commercials. I know.
That's true. Like, I think if Odell Beckham Jr. went to like somewhere like, I don't know, like Miami, I think he would love it.
Ugh.
I know.
He went to LSU. Like, I think New Orleans makes sense.
Oh, that would be cool. That would be cool.
You know, I don't know.
I mean, everybody wants to play for Tampa Bay.
But he has his buddy. He has Jarvis. Like, he can't figure it out in Cleveland with his best friend.
I'm surprised Jarvis is so quiet. I mean, I guess I'm not really surprised. He's always been that kind of guy, but Jarvis has had a bad rap, man. I mean, you start your career off with the Dolphins, then you go to the Browns. Whew, it gets worse. It can't get much worse.
You could end up in Denver.
Shut up. The Panthers designated Christian McCaffrey to return from injured reserve. This opens McCaffrey's 21-day window to resume practicing and gives him a chance to return against the Patriots after spending the past 5 weeks on the shelf. That includes an initial stint not on the injured reserve, followed by a setback. ESPN reported on Sunday that CMC was on target to return versus the Pats, but coach Matt Rhule has been predictably cagey. We would adopt a believe it when you see it mentality with McCaffrey, and the Panthers won't have to make an official week 9 announcement until Saturday because he technically remains on injured reserve. But Christian McCaffrey managers can tentatively pencil him into their lineups. Matt, CMC, does he play this week? Yes or no?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't know
why we did that story.
What's the point?
Right.
What are you playing?
The Panthers aren't gonna win anything.
No.
They're done.
And they don't have a quarterback. They're back to Darnold or PJ Walker. Like, I don't know. What are they playing for? What are you rushing him back from an injury for? You're not gonna win your division. I don't think they're a playoff team. Pack it in. Try again next year.
It's really unfortunate, too, because I know a lot of people thought very highly of the Panthers' offense. They thought that offense was going to turn the corner this year, and it's done nothing but get worse, frankly.
They're in third place. They're 4-4 right now. They're in third place in the division. Mm-hmm. Would you be shocked if they finished in last? Because the Falcons are 3-4 behind them. They've had their bye. The Saints are 5-2. I guess the Saints could fall off, but the Bucs are winning the division.
Oh, the Bucs are going to win it. Like, that one's sealed. It wouldn't surprise me if they're last, but it wouldn't surprise me if they finished second either. That division is just so, like, just top heavy. Like, right, you have a dominating team at the top, and then the rest of them are just so, like, they're just fodder. Like, they're not going
to. You don't believe in Taysom Hill, then, do you?
Not at all. Not one bit. No.
Love Taysom Hill.
No. If you want to switch that question up, it wouldn't shock me if the Saints finished dead last.
Really?
Yeah.
With no wide receiver, I guess.
The Saints are very overrated. That's a team that's not going to win anything this year. Anything at all.
If the Saints get Odell Beckham Jr.,
they're still without a quarterback.
Taysom Hill.
That's my point, Matt. They're still without a quarterback.
Taysom Hill was, like, really good in the 5 weeks he filled in.
For was, like, real year. Good.
He was a top 10 quarterback, fantasy-wise.
That's why people tune into this podcast, Matt, to hear the crazy analytics and just the numbers out.
Do you want to know what I'm thinking in my head as I'm saying that?
Real this good.
This is what's going on in my head. You know what, Matt? You hate Jalen Hurts, but you admit that he's a good fantasy quarterback because he runs. Why is Taysom Hill good at fantasy? Because he runs. Not because he's a good passing quarterback, but the Saints won games with Taysom Hill. The Eagles are not winning games with Jalen Hurts.
No. No, they're not. And that's all Jalen Hurts' fault, right?
It is.
Yes. Right.
As a quarterback, you get the blame.
Got it. Okay.
That's how it works. That's why they talk about quarterback wins. Like it or not, that's how it works.
Okay. I'm glad we got that settled on the podcast.
Wait a minute. Tom Brady won how many Super Bowls? We don't talk about the offensive linemen that were with him when he won those Super Bowls. You talk about Brady.
We kind of do. He had some really good offensive linemen.
Oh, my gosh.
He did.
Stop it.
He did.
No one's going. I
can't name any of them right this
exactly.
minute.
Exactly. Stop.
Yeah, but who was the guard? He had a badass guard. Like, made a ton of money.
So badass that you don't even know his name.
Buddy, name four fucking NFL guards right now. Active NFL guards. Four of them.
Leo Collins.
None of them from the Cowboys.
Alan Faneca. Eric Fisher. Is he a guard?
Is a tackle.
Him from tackle to guard, though.
I'm pretty confident he's a tackle.
It can't be. Who's the one from the Titans that just got hurt?
Thank you. That's my point. You're proving my point. Thank you very much. They had some good linemen. I can't tell you their names, but they had some good linemen. And they also had a tremendous defense, too. Those years when he was cashing in on those Super Bowls. Where were we with that? Where were we going with that?
Quarterback wins.
Oh, yes. Quarterback wins. Speaking of good quarterbacks, Zach Wilson will not play in week 9 against the Colts. This one is just a matter of record keeping, as Wilson was never going to play in this game after suffering a strained PCL 2 weeks ago. According to Jets coach Robert Sala. Wilson should return to practice next week, but it isn't a lock to play, even if he does get some practice reps. Mike White will start versus the Colts on Thursday. White topped 400 yards in his debut, but projects to come back to earth as a low-end QB2 versus Indy this week. Matt, by the time this episode rolls out to our audience, Thursday Night Football will likely be either in the middle of or over with. So I want you to get nice and close and just get right in there to my crystal balls, Matt, and tell me how this game goes. Look into my crystal balls. How does this game turn out?
The Jets win.
The Jets win. Okay.
Jets win because Carson Wentz plays terrible.
Oh.
And oh, Mike White does not lead the NFL in passing this week.
I have
Michael Carter. Explosion continues.
Okay. See, I have a team where I have Rodgers and Carson Wentz and Teddy Bridgewater. I'm planning on being without Rodgers. I'm starting Wentz over Bridgewater. Is that the right play?
No.
Okay. I'm going to do it anyways.
Probably. I thought you avoided Thursday night games. Isn't that your thing?
I do, but I'm going to take an L in that league anyways this week. So I'm like, I'll just go with Wentz and hope something crazy happens.
So you're not going to play your boy, Teddy.
No.
Because you hope something crazy happens in a Thursday night game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Your logic. I can't believe it took us this long to get to this next story.
It's a good story to end with. It really is. There's a lot of avenues we can take.
We didn't even talk about this guy yet.
So Derrick Henry's foot hurts, I guess.
Goodness.
Owie.
Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, he's not going to play for the rest of the year. So the Titans went out and they signed running back Deontay Foreman and Adrian Peterson to their practice squad. And they went ahead and they waived Make-A Sargent.
That sucks. So bad. He's on the practice squad.
Yeah, they waived that dude to make room for two other running backs, which is kind of messed up. With Dontrell Hilliard, also log jam there, Tennessee will likely opt to promote multiple players ahead of Sunday's matchup against the Rams. Peterson is expected to handle a bulk of the team's early down and goal line touches, with Jeremy McNichols sticking in as a pass catching role. So Derrick Henry getting hurt, out for the year. We know that. He's having foot surgery. That's a bummer. It just continues that trend, though, with running backs, man. Yeah, Saquon Barkley, hurt.
Come on, get there. Ask me the question.
CMC, hurt. Derrick Henry, hurt. Running backs, dime a dozen. Never forget it. But let's do it. Okay, Adrian Peterson, likely going to be a starting running back in the NFL in the year 2021. Matt, are you on board? Yes or no?
Yes. Absolutely. Give me all of the Adrian Peterson ever.
If there was...
Did you see what their offensive coordinator said today?
No, Matt. What did the offensive coordinator say
today? He said, we're not changing our offensive philosophy. We're still going to pound the rock. Yes. Adrian Peterson, league winner.
I hate it because I think you're right.
Oh!
Yeah.
What? Yeah. I did not expect you to agree with me.
I didn't expect you to be there either. I thought I was going to – usually when, like, I get, like, the old running backs and I say, oh, they're going to do good, you're always poo-pooing me.
No. But
Adrian Peterson is just a
– whoever they got to fill that role, I think, is going to succeed. Devontae Booker can succeed. Adrian Peterson can succeed.
Well, different place, right? Different things. But what about Deontay Foreman? Like, can we talk Deontay Foreman here a little bit? Is there anything in the future for him?
No.
Wow.
Just a body. Hasn't he been on like 6 different teams this year already?
No.
Who am I thinking of? Didn't the Ravens sign him and then cut him?
Not Deontay Foreman. I don't think.
Hold on. Let me effort this. I thought he would. I thought
enhance.
I got nothing. I thought he played for the Ravens. Yeah, he did play for the Ravens.
Did he?
Yes.
Because I know he was a Texan originally.
The Falcons. Yeah. Yeah. He was a Raven.
Okay. Well, that wasn't okay. Like, I'll believe that, but that wasn't what you said. You said he was on like six different teams.
He's kind of bounced around. He's not good. That was my thing.
Yes, he's bounced around because, you know, he's a running back and he's not a great one. Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks.
So, Jeremy McNichols, what do you think? Is there something there?
He'll catch the ball. I mean, he's
right. I'm there with you. Like, right? Like, yeah, he'll probably have a game or two, but he's not going to win you anything.
No, maybe he wasn't with the Ravens. I'm pretty confident I found him with the Ravens.
Over under 15 carries for Adrian Peterson this week.
Under.
Yeah. Over under 10.
Is he playing?
It's expected for him to play Sunday.
See, that's what I don't know if he plays this week. It's expected but next for him to week. Play. If he plays, I would put the line at 11.5. I'm going over under.
Oh, I would take the under.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't see it, but it is what it is. I think over the season, like, I don't think he's going to have a good first or second game. The course of the season, though, I think when we start getting really close to playoff time, yeah, that's a good guy to have on the roster.
Foreman was not a Raven. He was an Atlanta Falcon.
Ah, there it is.
I looked it up. He was a Texan, then he was a Colt, then he was a Titan, then he was a Falcon, now back with the Titans.
Well, man, I think that wraps it up then, man. That's it.
Good way to end it. Deontay Foreman's career.
You know, usually on the show, Matt, we do news and notes, and like around the end, you can tell when like the stories are just like, oh, this is just kind of filler stories. These legitimately felt like headline after headline after headline.
Yeah, there was no filler story this week.
Those were big stories. Big stories. Michael Thomas, we talked about. Calvin Ridley.
Odell when the last Beckham. Story you talk about is King Henry.
Yeah, Derrick Henry. Henry Ruggs killing somebody. The starting tight end in Denver. I'm just saying, it's a big deal. Like, these stories were huge.
Yeah, it was a big week.
Yeah, Saquon Barkley. I mean, God darn it. Just darn it. Well, Matt, thank you for getting really close to my crystal balls and telling me what you thought the Jets were going to do tonight with the Colts. That's good to know. Anything you want to add before we let the audience go?
No.
Thought-provoking. I love it.
I'm waiting for you to say who we're brought to them by.
We are brought to you by DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
And we'll catch you all next week.
Thanks for hanging out with us on another episode of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Dads. Visit us at our website, dynastydads.com, for articles, news, and notes, Dynasty Dads gear, and more.